Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
There's a guy hit the deep right field. That ball is going. Blowing it in, gone. He drives the authority. Now I don't believe it.
That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
What's up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show. Stick around and we'll tell you who we are and why we love the New York Yankees. We'll recap the first half of the season, give you our take on what's up with the Bronx Bombers, and end it all with our walk-off song of the week. And if you behave, I may even get Betty to tell you all about her fantasy love life. So keep it here, because she's Betty, I'm Gigo, and this is the first episode of the Bullpen Betty Show.
Everybody, it's the Bullpen Betty Show, and we are here to talk about baseball. I love baseball, he loves baseball, and we're both huge devoted Yankees fans. And as a result of some kind of Field of Dreams divine intervention, we decided that we're going to do a podcast where we can talk about the things that we love most, the Yankees and New York City.
Right.
And the fact that we get two great tastes that taste great together, lucky us. Hear that?
What the?
Do you hear that, Kigo? It's All-Star break, and anyone who's anyone in baseball is at Citi Field. Even us.
Kind of, sort of.
Well, except we have no tickets. So we're in the Willits Point subway stop. Love the number 7.
I mean, I thought I didn't take it, but StubHub is crazy.
How much were they?
Our cheap seat would be $288.
That's cheap.
That's the cheap one.
What are the expensive ones?
I see one here for $9,172.
And how many cents?
No cents.
So if you get that ticket, do you get your choice of player on the field to take home with you?
I don't even think you get a hot dog.
Wow. Well, there it is, folks. Real fans.
Hopefully by next week we'll be in Yankee Stadium.
Yes, I'm sure. They'll set us up in our own office by next week.
You know. Randy Levine, I'll be calling you this week.
So, we're going to be doing, you know, game and player commentary, personal anecdotes, historical references, interviews, music, bar reviews, whatever else the cat drags in. Where is that damn cat anyway? When am I going to get a cat? So, we want to introduce ourselves a little bit since this is our first show.
Tell me about Bullpen Betty.
Well, Bullpen Betty. Bullpen Betty was actually born in New York, but everybody makes fun of her because she grew up in New Jersey. But that really wasn't her fault, you know, it was a function of her Bullpen Betty, Mr. and Mrs. Bullpen Betty, her parents. However, my father worked in New York every day, and he took me to Yankee games in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And Bullpen Betty was very, very young in the 70s. And Reggie Jackson played then. And Reggie Jackson and Bullpen Betty have the same birthday.
Yeah.
Except he was born in a much earlier year. Anyway, my first memories of going to Yankee Stadium are being with my dad and his friend Ron Odgers, who I guess in fact was a Mets fan, but I don't really know the story there. And I remember going, and I remember sitting in the seats behind home plate but above the backstop, and people walking around the stadium, ripping the seats out of the cement and like throwing them on the backstop. That was the Bronx and Yankee Stadium in the late 70s.
Why did you tell my friend Patty Duke, who has two seats?
Did she rip them out of the cement herself? No.
Patty is actually a dude, and he did rip them out of the cement.
Oh. Is he Irish?
Italian.
Patty.
Long story.
Okay. Gigo, you are more New York than Bullpen Betty in some ways, in many ways, in most ways, perhaps. And I want to know, what was your experience with the Yankees, especially in the late 70s, the summer of Sam?
Well, oddly enough, I was actually born in Queens, right? And my first game, my uncle was my godfather, and he's a Met fan. So the first couple of years, the games I went to were Met games, but he used to take me to Shea back in the day. Until I got old enough to take myself. And it was a Yankee Stadium.
So you made that decision on your own?
Made that decision on my own. Probably it was mid-70s when the Yankees were coming back again. I used to go with my friend John, Mad Dog by the Lot. Him and his friend, what was his friend's name? I can't remember. But his friend was a cop. So he used to flash his badge and get us into the stadium, which is kind of cool.
What, you could just walk in for nothing?
With his badge, we could, yeah.
Is that the kind of juice that one could get with a badge back then?
It's one of many things you can get with a badge back then.
Can you get anything like that if you're a cop?
Mike Rep, Paging Mike Rep. We'll have to talk to Mike. He might know.
Okay, we'll interview
but,
him.
But I used to go back. I used to go to Yankee games back in the day. When going to Yankee Stadium was an event. It was a much different experience.
Yep.
Yankee Red Sox games back in the day, you wear a helmet just to keep from getting hit by a flying bottle, and which was fun. But I have to say, my first big memory of Yankee Stadium was Game 4, 1978 World Series. Sitting in the bleachers, great game, Lou Piniella, my favorite player at the time, won it and faced it, and I think it was the 11th inning.
That was back when most of the players were either black or white, right?
No, there were a lot of Latin players back in the day.
Were there? I mean, as many as there are now? They weren't Dominican back then.
No, there were some Dominicans.
Right. So now that, like, if you feel like, you know, so much of baseball is Dominican, do you feel a breath, like a connection to it now? Because aren't you indeed half Dominican?
Yes, I am. My father is actually, even more than that, my father's from San Pedro Macorís.
That's the big baseball town.
Small little town of Dominican Republic. I'm not sure if it's still that way, but I know at least about like 4 or 5 years ago, there were more players in the major leagues from San Pedro Macorís than from any one particular town or city in the United States.
Wow. So that's their big ticket out. That's their big ticket to the big apple.
Baseball is definitely in the family. I remember my grandmother, my father's mom, back in the day, when we were kids, we used to call her, me and my friends, we used to call her Baseball Mutt, because she was a baseball fanatic. Again, a Met fan, but fanatic. I mean, there's little Mr. Met dolls and, you know, tchotchkes on her shelves in her house and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So baseball's always been a big thing in my family.
Well, so my mother's father, who was born in the 1890s, and I'm not even exaggerating, he was born in the 1890s, and I think he was born in Ireland, I always forget. He was definitely Irish. He played, we believe, and there's nobody around to really verify it anymore because everybody was so damn old, they're all dead now. He played for like a AAA or AA team of the Detroit Tigers.
Really?
And was a catcher. And yes, if you go to facebook.com/bullpenbetty, I have a photo of him with his other team players on there, and it is amazing. You know, with the big, bulky uniform. So I definitely think it was in the blood. I played softball.
Did you?
Starting when I was 7 through till I was a junior in high school. And then I didn't play after that because I had to go to work and whatever. But I played for the town I lived in the summer league, for my school team, and I was second base.
You're like a really
cowboy? Yes, I was. I was a little tired. I played every sport. I played basketball. I played soccer. I sucked at swimming. I was not a good tennis player. But then later on in life, I skied. I box now. I've been weightlifting. Yeah. So I'm a sporty spice. But anyway, so I would play. And my dad's sort of a closet jock. You would never guess he was by looking at him. And my mother didn't know anything about sports. So she, you know, she would sort of like coach a team or whatever. And then
Wait,
suddenly...
she coached a team without knowing anything about sports?
Yeah, well, she was like the manager. She's very organized. So suddenly, like, she could give a crap. My dad and I would go to Yankee games, whatever. And she's sitting watching TV, like, you know, a New Jersey housewife waiting for her husband to come home from where, you know, ever he was, drinking somewhere probably. And she sees this game, and it was probably 1984 or 5. And Gary Carter, who was the catcher of the Mets at the time, made some amazing play, and she was, like, captivated. And suddenly, she got really into the Mets.
Gary Carter was her epiphany.
Yes, Gary Carter was my mother's baseball epiphany. And they started to go to every game. We had a Mets fan parking only sign on the tree outside of our little suburban house. And she had a Cabbage Patch doll that was basically Gary Carter. She still has it. They went to Game 7 of the World Series, and my mother flung herself over the wall at Shea, like other people, and ripped the grass out of the field and, like, brought it home. She was mental. So as mental as my mother was about the Mets, I have now, later in life, I had to like the Mets. I was a kid, and, you know, your mother likes the Mets and is obsessed. So, and everybody loved the Mets back then. I mean, it was great. I love that. That team was, they really were the amazing Mets. It was just a great, you know, year. But then I, you know, sort of, so then she sort of got off it. I went to college. I just didn't really pay close attention to baseball.
Where did you go to school?
I went to the University of Michigan, where I was at school the same time as the Fab Five.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was, and Desmond Howard, I was also at Michigan when he was there and won the Heisman Trophy. I even went to a Rose Bowl game where we got slaughtered by Washington. It was like the biggest blowout of the Rose Bowl, I guess, in the history of Rose Bowls or something.
Did you go to Detroit Tigers games while you were out there?
I did go to a Detroit Tigers game in the old Tiger Stadium.
Nice.
Yep. And my whole family and all of my friends will be so happy that I mentioned that, because everybody that I'm related to is from Detroit, Michigan. I'm the only one who was born in New York. So there's a big Tiger
affinity. Why we hang out with you.
What, because I wasn't born in Michigan? But I still have my Midwestern, you know, naivete. So yeah, so that was a big, there's a big affinity and rivalry between me and my whole entire family and many, many of my friends because of the whole Michigan connection. Where was I going with that anyway? Okay, so I think that we should probably get a little bit into, you know, what went on in the first half of the season, because what you and I were talking about today, and I think it's a really kind of important news item, is that we lost, out of the 10 top home run hitters from last year, we lost 9 of them this year.
Either through injury or through trading.
Right, Cano is the only one.
Which is why everyone picked the Yankees to be last in the American League East.
Right, because they knew our offense was going to blow.
Right, and everybody figured out pitching might be a little sketchy, who knows what.
Right. You know,
and Andy Pettit coming back after a year off. After he got hurt last year, he didn't pitch most of last year.
Right.
Things being what they were.
So, I mean, we came out of the box in April like gangbusters, right?
Yeah.
It was great.
I mean, there were some moves made. We did replace these guys, but, you know, we lost a lot of big names. You know, Swisher and Chavez and Ibanez. And we replaced them with, you know, Travis Hafner, or Vernon Wells, Lyle Overbay. These are all good players who are, you know, let's say they're in the sunset of their careers.
Right.
But they stepped up. They were good.
Right. They were motivated. They were excited. They came out. It was April. It was freezing out. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I went to a couple games and it was freezing out. And, you know, they hit 36 home runs, which was tied with Cleveland for first in the American League, right?
Right. We ended up first month 16-10. And in second place, behind the only other more surprising team than us, was Boston.
Right, because they sucked last year, but suddenly they're great.
Suddenly they're great. But, you know, we started out good.
Our pitching was not fantastic, but Mo had 11 saves. But yeah, so then the trend has sort of trended downwards since then.
So we are who they thought they were.
Right, we sort of settled to the bottom.
Yeah, although the pitching has got better. I got to say, the pitching has been
right.
Good, but our offense has been pretty much on.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess the big stories were in May, the Mets sweep of the New York Yankees, which will be...
Must be talking about that.
It'll be the worst story, like, for the history ever. I was at the Mo blown save game at Citi Field, where the only thing that could have been worse is if, like, lightning struck or, like, an alien ship landed in the middle of the field and killed everybody, like, in a Mars Attacks or something. It was the worst thing I ever saw in my life.
And the worst part about it is that we'll never hear the end of it. Because Mets fans are horrible like that. I mean, we could come back and win. We can win the next 5 World Series, and they'll still be telling you, yeah, but we swept you in 2013.
Right, in your stadium and our stadium. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that was their World Series, right? Come on, the Mets, they're your little kid brother, they're annoying as hell, but you know, they're in New York, so you can't hate them, can you?
I don't hate the Mets as a team, it's the Mets fans that I don't.
I feel like Mets fans, well, so this is, let's go back, so I went to Yankee Stadium as a young kid. I was only a day old in the 70s, and it was chaos.
Were you alive in the 70s?
This was prenatal, I went. And I remember seats getting thrown in the womb. So it was sheer chaos. You were taking your life into your own hands, kind of. And this is coming from a young lass, coming from the nice suburbs of Bergen County, New Jersey, right? So then in the 80s, I go to Shea, and it's like kumbaya. It's like family friendly. Everybody's holding hands, and it was just such a different experience than going to Yankee Stadium.
Although
so,
the locker room was a different thing, right? Because the locker room, those 1980s, mid 80s Mets teams, was all about drugs and alcohol and David Cohn and
Coneheads,
right? The Coneheads and what's his face, Vince Coleman throwing firecrackers and all that,
right.
All kinds of yeah. The team.
You know who my favorite player was?
They were.
Oh God.
They were, as a team, they were wild. But
remember Kevin Mitchell? He was like just an ass beater. But my favorite player, which kind of figures, it sort of fits into the rest of my life, was Lenny Dykstra.
Hey, didn't he just get out of prison?
Right. What a God. But I had that Nails poster. It was hot. He was really good. The Lenny Dykstra Wally back when they would double steal, and I mean, it was really great. But anyway, so my point is that like it was such a different experience. It was like this family friendly at Shea compared to like, oh my God, we might die in the Bronx. But you know, now there's the two stadiums and Citi Field is so nice and the food is so good. But Yankee Stadium still has this like ominous aura and hum of sort of like the Death Star.
Yeah, it's not the same. I gotta admit, it's not the same. I miss the old stadium.
Yeah.
You felt like you were closer to the field.
Mm-hmm.
It was louder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some games I used to go to. I gotta shout out my girl Nan, who took me up with mad tickets over the years.
Nan!
Yeah. Through her, I've managed to go to about, I think, 5 or 6 World Series games, all kinds of playoff games. There were times at the old stadium, one game in particular, I remember Paul O'Neill's last, I guess it was his last game at the stadium. I remember all the fans were chanting, O'Neill, O'Neill. So the stadium was rocking. You could actually feel the stadium moving from everybody jumping up and down.
Wow.
But you don't get that.
No.
I guess.
Well, I'm also trying to figure out how to, like, fill seats at Yankee Stadium. I mean, I guess if the team was better, that would help. But I don't know. People talk about it being too expensive, et cetera. But I get in there. You can get seats in there for less than $40 easily. I do all the time.
I used to pay $40 and sit behind home plate. Right now, $40, you're up in the nosebleeds because it's $2,500.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
It is. Anyway, so, you know, the other highlights of the first half of the year, I suppose, were June was a really horrible month for the Yankees. We were swept by the O's in Camden Yards. We had 2 5-game losing streaks, so it really wasn't great. I guess what you were at a shining moment in Yankee Stadium in June.
It was a doubleheader. Dodgers first time. I didn't realize, but I guess now I think of it, it was the first time the Dodgers had ever played a regular season game in Yankee Stadium.
Wow.
Which they do not. I mean, they used to play all the time before, but it was always in a World Series. And
right.
Now the interleague. The Yankees have been out to L.A., but this is the first time that the Dodgers came back to Yankee Stadium, and it's the first time Don Mattingly came back, which is cool.
My dad used to call him Matt Tingley, just because he thought he was funny or something. I don't know. We ended June with 18 home runs, which was last in the American League.
Right.
And our pitching sucked too. It was just really bad
month.
So now we're in the middle of July, and we ended. July was better than June. Mo blew another save that I was also at, but you and I were at a game where we won. Walk off. That was really, really. That might have been the best game I've ever been at. That was a big surprise.
That was my girlfriend Alyssa's first walk off. Experience.
I think it was mine.
Really?
Yeah, that I'm aware of. I mean, seeing how I was a zygote.
So you're serious? This is the best game you've ever been.
It may have been. That was a really damn good game.
My first game I ever went to.
Yeah.
David Cohn's birthday.
Wow. That was the best game you ever went to.
Probably the best game. Game 4, 78 World Series. That was big. I was at the Clemens game where he threw the bat at Piazza.
Wow.
That was fun.
You caught some good ones, my friend. Wow. I have a foul ball from a Mets game. Kevin Bass hit it. You remember Kevin Bass? Yep, Houston, and Ron Darling was pitching. Ron Darling, the Ivy League pitcher.
I got a ball that, remember Chad Curtis? You know, in between innings, they do that catch. They warm up.
Right.
He threw the ball into the stands, and I grabbed it.
So we have balls.
I don't know if you can say that. I had my ball signed by Daryl Strawberry.
Wait, I have a ball signed by Granderson and Cervelli with their wrong hands because they are both injured.
eBay.
I don't know. I think they signed like 40 of them, though.
It's been a pretty good season in general for baseball, I think, so far, the first half.
Yeah, you're right. Let's highlight some. Not really Yankees related, but...
We've had two no-hitters. In fact, one a couple of days ago. Tim Lincecum, 2-0 no-hitter for San Francisco. And was it Andrew Bailey, who threw one for Cincinnati. That's kind of cool. We've got, hitting-wise, this is Miguel Cabrera, who is a beast.
Yeah.
If he continues, he may get the Triple Crown again. Who knew?
What is he eating?
What's that? Rice and beans?
What is he? I thought maybe he was eating like cow placenta or something.
he's on track to just be another monster. And Chris Davis in Baltimore.
Yeah, Chris Davis, man.
37 home runs before the All-Star break. That, I think, sets or ties a record. 1969. That's pretty amazing. I think that
Davis or Cabrera like hit more home runs last week than we hit all month as a team.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's been a fun season so far, and now we are at the All-Star.
Yep, we got
Mo and Cano. We almost had Robertson. Didn't get in.
Can he get in if like somebody implodes or something?
Yeah, if somebody gets hurt, he can probably what usually happens. All these guys get picked, starting pitchers get picked, and then either they decide not to go because they'd rather have the time off, or guys who pitch Saturday or Sunday leading into the All-Star break, they can't pitch during the game. They don't have enough time to rest. So those guys sometimes they don't go and they'll replace them with someone who can't pitch.
So can we then talk about Matt Harvey from the Mets?
Matt Harvey is the case, right? He's starting pitcher for National League, which is cool. Right. You know, games at Citi Field, you're going to be in front of the hometown fans. But Mets being what they are, in order to assure that he could start the All-Star game, they actually skipped him his last start in the regular season.
So he's starting in the game that doesn't count.
Right. He's missed a game that does count in order to be able to pitch in a game that doesn't.
Right. Well, you know, it's at Citi Field and the eyes of the country and Canada, the great planet of Canada, are upon them. So perhaps they decided for PR purposes they needed to do that.
Right.
I kind of get it, but
that's why the Mets are 41-50, 9 games out of 500, and 11 games out of first place.
Oh, Mets.
It's all in the attitude.
The tood, man. The Mets tood, yeah. See, that's why they need... you know, guys in jail like Dykstra. They need a little street cred like that. It's amazing. So, yeah, so we're totally psyched for the second half of the season because, as you know, Gigo, being a lifelong baseball fan, it could be a different, like, the team could be totally different before and after the All-Star break.
Yeah. I mean, look at...
And in our case, they literally have to be a different team.
One of my favorite teams, 78 Yankees, 14 games out in July. And they won the World Series, right?
Wow. Say that again.
14 games out in July and they won the World Series. Or you look at a team like Boston 2 years ago who had an 8-game lead and didn't make the playoffs. Right?
Yep. So you don't want to peak too early in this sport, do you?
No, you don't. It's a long season.
It is. There's a lot of games. All right. Well, that is our first show.
Before we go anywhere, a little full disclosure here. Curtis Granderson and you.
Okay, so the real reason why I got back into baseball and the Yankees is because I was watching the news one night and I see this new guy that came from the Tigers and is on the Yankees and his name was Curtis Granderson, and the next thing I knew I was going down to spring training at George Steinbrenner Stadium in Tampa to watch this guy, Curtis Granderson, and
Now you stalk.
And now I stalk him. He shows up at my the other things I do with my life, and I have several pictures of him that you can see on facebook.com/bullpenbetty.
He's showing up at his day job. He wants to say where your day job is.
Yeah,
he's actually been at your day job.
And I've met him many times, and he is so nice and just down to earth and likes to talk to people, and he's just great. And I just want him to come back.
Do you actually know where he lives?
I think I know where he lives. I know where you live, Curtis Granderson. It's okay. I'm not crazy like that. I'm just crazy about baseball. And we're so glad that you listened to us. And hopefully more than my mom and Gigo's four brothers listened in. That's it. So we'll be back next week.
First, hey, don't forget, now it's actually one of my favorite parts of our show, which we're going to do every week.
Right. So we're going to, Gigo and I love music, and Gigo actually has played music in his life, where I can't say that. I just love music. So we're every week we're going to do what we're calling a walk-off song of the week, and that's how we're going to end our show.
You can listen or not. It's up to you, but we're going to play it
right. Right, but we're going to try to pick songs that are relevant or kick-ass. So, Gigo, what are we doing this week?
Well, since it is the All-Star break, and either right now you're, depending on when we get this thing up, you're either watching the Home Run Derby or watching the All-Star game itself, I guess we got to do a little Smash Mouth, right?
You're making me put the Smash Mouth on, aren't you? All right. I mean, that was a big song, and it's totally perfect for the show. I'll allow it. Yep.
Where else can they follow us?
We can be followed on Twitter at twitter.com/bullpenbetty. One word, Betty with a Y at the end. And also on Facebook, facebook.com/bullpenbetty. And we have a actual website, but it's sort of under construction. But just so you know, it's www.bullpenbetty.com. And we can't wait to see and talk to you guys next week. We'll have some interviews. We have a big interview next week. Our theme song that you hopefully heard and took note of at the top of the hour here was Centerfield, which is a John Fogerty song covered by a Seattle band known as Visqueen. And our interview next week is with Rachel Flotard, the front woman. So that's something to look forward to. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening in. Can't wait to talk to you next week. And remember, friends don't let friends wear pink baseball caps.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. Show on, yeah.